Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Gary Stewart in Conscious Connection. I'm very excited to talk to my guest today. We're talking to the founders of Voice for Hope, Denise Lewis Premchak and James Turner. I'm very excited about this program because Voice for Hope is the healers of planet Earth relating to congressional representatives as friends, allies, and members of their own home communities. This process for Voice of Hope transcends the partisan political rhetoric, which we all know is so big in Washington. It also releases the innate strength of empowered individuals and transforms our limiting governmental policies into approaches that enhance the individual and social health and well-being. Hope citizen healers engage in innate intelligence of the body politic to catalyze transformation and restore health and well-being to the political and the policy-making system. In this day and age of Obamacare, nothing could be better than to have us actively involved in a participatory democracy with Voice for Hope. Let me get the founders on the line here. We have James Turner and Denise. Are you there?
I'm here.
Good to speak with you, Gary. Sorry. It takes a couple minutes to sort this out with all the internet mumbo-jumbo here. Well, I'm so thrilled to have you as guest today, and there's so much to speak about. So thank you for speaking on Conscious Connection here. We're very happy to have you, and also to promote your noble and progressive way of interfacing with the government. That's really unheard of in this day and age, is most people feel victimized by the government and not able to have a voice with them to change actually public policy that serves the people.
It is a tough time here in the Washington circles. The we think that the people who are representing us, the senators and the members of the House of Representatives, have been stuck in a very, very tough spot. There are all kinds of really big issues that they're trying to deal with. They have their own hometowns to have to cope with and represent and think about. And most importantly, and this is the origin of our thinking, right now there are more people registered as independents than either registered as Republicans or Democrats. And if you add in the number of people who are eligible to register who don't register, there are actually more people who are either independents, registered as independents, or not registered at all. There are more in those two groups than there are Republicans and Democrats combined. What this means is that the Republicans and Democrats are a minority, and they're attempting to represent the majority, and it just they're just up against a tough problem, and that's what we're trying to address.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think that's actually very good news, because it may be like that with an alleged two-party system, but it shows that the people are fed up with the inaction on what's needed to serve the people. So I think that's actually very encouraging of people ready to participate in the government rather than just buy the same old, same old. You know, a lot of political circles call them Republicrats. It's just the politicians against the people, yet we fund them. So I think it's actually wonderful that the independents are taking back their own power to maybe shake things up a little bit so the government remembers that it's to serve the people.
Well, our goal when we go and talk to these members of Congress is to tell them about natural healing and natural approaches to health. They're tend to be based on the innate intelligence of the body, the idea of helping the body cure itself. And what we are doing is using the innate intelligence of the body politic and going directly to the individual representatives and saying, you know, most of the people in your district are not in your party. And there are a very large number of people in your district who aren't in anybody's party, and they're looking for leadership, and here's an issue that you could be a leader on. That's kind of our general approach.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're empowering the politicians as well. So that's incredible.
That's a crucial part of any natural healing approach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that ties right in. So was this both Denise and yours idea from what inspired this mission?
Well, I'll answer that and let Denise answer. It actually was a group that we worked with in the biofeedback area that actually came up with the broad idea. And then we started working on putting it together. And then, Denise, you want to tell the rest of the story as to where we are today?
Well, what we did was come together around the idea that representation needed to happen for natural healers. And then the idea also that we have lots of resources as natural healers that could be helpful in the stressful and extremely volatile area of politics. So our real mission is to be a resource for our legislators. And so those legislators are able to better understand that constituency that either isn't voting or has maybe separated themselves into another party.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mission, that we have meaningful participation in developing public policy, and we are resources in the community, in the districts, for our legislators.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So what type of activities do you engage in with the legislators? Hopefully they make time to listen to you and interact with you with this wonderful Voice for Hope program.
Well, one of the most wonderful and empowering pieces of what we do is matching constituents from legislators' varied districts with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing that, by using this constituent-based approach to bring our message, we have had amazing receptivity. Everybody wants to meet with us. We're a refreshing part of their day because what we're really doing is listening to them instead of expecting that there would be listening going on only on one side and then action on their part. So it becomes a nice and congenial visit to every single time. I can say we've had very good results as these visits unfold, in that they are much more interested in the kinds of things that we can bring, and just because we brought them these ideas in such a congenial way.
Mm-hmm.
So did you want to say more about that?
Well, I was going to say that the trick in the approach is that the currency of politics is people, and the reason that you see so much money being spent in politics is because the people spending the money don't have the people's support. But people can show up on their own. You know, we can bring them together, and the trick is that the people in Congress are delighted to see representatives from their home district. They're delighted in several ways. One is these are potential voters, first of all.
Right.
But secondly, they're people from home. They're people you can talk to. We had I remember one of our we've had about 150 of these meetings. And I remember one of the very first ones, our person went in, and we usually go to meet with the health advisor to the member of Congress. In this particular instance, the member of Congress was actually there and spent about half an hour with our person. Turned out they lived about a mile apart, shopped in the same shopping center, and the whole conversation was a completely different one than if you were a lobbyist in there asking for them to do something. Well, what happens is, and then the funny thing that happens is almost everybody that we've talked to has had some personal experience with natural healing. So they almost immediately want to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
I remember one that I was in, the representative is a young woman who's a senior advisor. She was 28 years old, and she's a senior advisor to a powerful member of Congress. And we got in about 5 minutes into the conversation. She says, well, I understand all that. I really resonate with what you're saying, but I have a question for you. Do you guys have anything for migraine headaches?
Once
that conversation starts, then we really have a real meeting of minds, and people really do let down their hair and actually talk seriously.
So what, Gary, what the actual activity looks like in Washington, D.C., we do a program that starts with an initial evening of getting to know each other, perhaps includes some relevant topics, relevant speakers, dinner, And then the next day, we get together in the morning and have training by our government relations specialists who have been on the Hill for many, many years, and they are in our camp. And then we take the afternoon then to, we will have everyone pre-registered so that we have already arranged appointments for everyone to have in that afternoon. So it's a full day training and going up on the Hill, having our different meetings, going to each other's meetings so that we have more experience with it, and then coming together afterwards to talk about what happened and getting testimonials and putting our reports in our archives. Sorry. The next morning is, after they've slept on this incredible day of newness, they will come back and talk about how they will bring what they've learned back to their district, because one of the most important pieces here is to connect with your legislator in Washington, D.C., but also create a relationship at the district level.
And that's, and that's with the representative's office. So they give you a name of somebody in the office that you can talk to. So then when the representative is coming back to the district, say, let's just say they come back and want to have a constituents meeting in which they present ideas or hear ideas, then we make sure that if it's a health meeting, natural healing is part of what is talked about at that meeting.
So do you find that at these meetings where Obamacare and insurance and the health industry is so pervasive right now that there's room for natural healing rather than just, let's say, the more populist conversation about, you know, enrolling in Obamacare?
Well, our way of addressing that question and the whole question of the Affordable Care Act is to point out that it's primarily about financing of health care, not about the quality of health care. And we say the things that we are interested in is allowing the use of individuals' money that they pay into the government for individual alternative care. We've always been very strongly supportive of various kinds of health savings accounts that allow people to create a tax-free account which they can use for whatever health care choices they want to make. So that's one thing we talk about, and there is a there is a movement to expand that part of Obamacare. And there's also a very large section of the Affordable Care Act that's on prevention. And we like to just call their attention to that and say, look, this is the beginning of trying to think through how you get natural healing as a part of the national health care system.
Right. Excellent, which is so much needed. And the cost effectiveness in and of itself. Now, do you find there's a conflict just a little outside the box here? Because I know a lot of political representatives take great monies from the pharmaceutical industry or even the agriculture industry. Do you find that creates a conflict in them with natural healing?
If we present it in a way that says that natural healing is something to be added to the system and it's from a constituent, they are always open-minded about considering it. We have not gotten down to the point where we've had to have a an actual struggle. But I want to just say that this is exactly the strategy that I was involved in very closely when we passed the Organic Food Protection Act. We had total resistance from the agricultural system. But when it got to the Agriculture Committee in the House, we had a minority there that was supporting organic agriculture, and we had some very powerful senators supporting it. And the committee was able to agree not to take a vote in the committee. They just let the Organic Food Production Act reach the floor and let the floor take the vote. And when the headlines came out the next day, it said 75 urban greens carry the day for organic food. This was a bunch of people who were, these are members of Congress, who were lived in cities but were involved in the natural organic growing movement, which included, you know, farmers markets and other things in the cities. And that's how it got through. That was by using a, and there's a lot of this kind of conversation that we're talking about on that issue.
Mm-hmm. Great. So Voice for Hope would fall in that vein there. So to give them, let's say, a broader palette to make their choices from.
Beautiful statement. Broader palette. That's exactly what we're talking about. A broader palette.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, the thing that's so interesting is that personally they're there. Personally,
right.
These people all talk about having either themselves or someone in their family or a friend who've used acupuncture or used chiropractic or used massage or used some other approach that is not inside the drug, radiation, and surgery world, and they use it sometimes to the exclusion of other things or sometimes as an adjunct to other things. But they're not. Their visceral instinct is not against what we're talking about.
Good, good. That's a lot of progress. It really is. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so now Denise had mentioned she wanted to speak about representative democracy, and both of you, please pipe in and how Voice for Hope fits into congressional politics.
Why don't you go ahead with this, Jim? Start, please.
Okay. Our system is quite unique. And in fact, we have a couple of people working with. One's a young lawyer from Wisconsin who's very, very much into representative democracy. And one of the points he makes is that we are unique even among democracies in that we actually have a identified representative who lives in our district for everybody in the country. There are about 500,000 people in each district, and each one of them has an individual who is selected by that the voters in that 500,000 to represent that district. So we have a natural, and we think of it as energetic, connection to have people who are interested in the political aspects of natural healing to go directly to the person in their neighborhood, their 500,000 unit, and talk to them and talk to their staff and then talk to their office back in their district and to become alert to when the person that's representing them comes back to the district and be sure that the issues that we're concerned about in natural healing get on the agenda and so on. And the point here is that, by the way, we don't really have we don't have any view as to whether the individual representative is a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, or a liberal. We're not concerned with that. What we're concerned with is they're from the community, and the community has interests, and one of the interests that's not very well represented in the policy circles is natural healing, and there are lots of people in the district who are interested in that. We figure about half of the public, at least, is using one or more natural healing modalities. And so, they tend not to vote for the most. They tend to be in that set that certainly they tend to be independents, and then also they tend not to vote because there's never an issue on the ballot for which they can vote. And these representatives can add this to their thinking and start to gather up information from their districts and move forward in that manner. And so that's what we mean by having it be right at the heart of representative democracy.
Right. Exactly. Which is wonderful because, you know, it empowers everyone. And so what do you feel individuals come away with?
Well, both individuals involved with the conversation, the congressional representative or staffer, and our healer of planet Earth, Hope's person, come away empowered and knowing more than they knew going in. And it becomes a much more fluid connection almost instantly. Who better than a healer, practitioner, is going to create rapport quickly and be open and willing to listen and understand where the other person is coming from? These are part of the things that we do in the training, but we feel that folks with the mindset of natural healing, whether that means they're practicing as a professional or if they are a client or if they're in the manufacturing or they provide some sort of product, all of those people have a much more innate sense about our oneness, our connection with people initially. Uh-huh. And so we start from there. And it perfectly aligns with transpartisanship, which is the foundation for what we are doing. And transpartisanship is transcending that partisan outlook. And there is definitely a new way of looking at things that fits into the transpartisan idea. And I'll let Jim talk a little bit more about that, because he is the author of Voice of the People, which is the transpartisan imperative in American life. And he wrote that book with a partner, a co-author. Why don't you talk about transpartisanship a little bit, Jim?
Yes.
Well,
sure.
It's interesting. If you watch the politics, you'll see that there are a number of hot button items, and you could take something like campaign financing, and you'll see that there'll be Republicans and Democrats on both sides of that issue. And what we're arguing is that the actual political arena is less a spectrum than it is a matrix. And the matrix is made up of people who are moved from left to right, and then there's that's the horizontal axis, and then the vertical axis is order, freedom order. So you end up with order left, order right, and free left and free right. And what's interesting is that the free left and the free right will tend to line up together in a conflict with the order right and the order left. And so the order left, order right tends to want to have hard rules that tie the country into a specific set of ways of being. The free side wants to have much more freedom and independence. And what we say is that you must have an integration of freedom and order to have either freedom or order. If you have too much order, you have tyranny. If you have too much freedom, you have chaos. And it's the interconnected balance of those that work.
Mm-hmm.
I say if we decided how to walk the way we do our politics, we'd have a big debate on whether we should walk on our right foot or our left foot. Then we'd figure out an election or something. We'd pick one, and it wouldn't work. And so then we'd say, well, we tried the left foot. Let's try the right foot. And we would hop on the left foot, and then we'd hop on the right foot. And then the really smart people would come along and say, let's hop on both feet. And what we're saying is let's do a little bit of left and a little bit of right, and pretty soon you're actually moving forward, and you can change directions, and you can be balanced and so forth. So we're talking about integrating these left, right, order, freedom concepts.
Great. That's excellent. And I think you echo Ben Franklin with his observations, too, from way back when. He had a very similar thought pattern, which was, I thought, very enlightened and evolved. So that's wonderful.
And I was going to say...
Go ahead. James.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that when Denise was talking and said this is a new idea, I also think it's as an old idea. Jefferson said we're all Federalists, we're all Democrats, and Lincoln's basically talked about the South and the North being put together, and really basically did a very throughout history we've had a very strong notion of putting things together, integrating. That's one of the things that makes the United States a unique country. We want to integrate rather than separate.
Excellent. Well, we have a few minutes left here, so I want to make sure we get... So what would individuals come away with about empowerment to participate in the government if they get involved with Voice for Hope?
Well, we have close to 100 10-minute films from people who have gone in and had these meetings and then come out, and they invariably are, they're in many, many ways, they're life-changing for the individuals, because they've, up until the moment they go in, they think of the government as being way out there and having nothing to do with me. When they go in and discover that there's somebody that lives a mile away from them who's in there representing them, who shops at the same shopping center and wants to talk about what it's like back home, all of a sudden they've got a different take on the whole thing. And we have it over and over. I mean, I'll tell you, when we sent the first group in, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was amazed when they came out. They were just excited about having had a marvelous experience.
So we have relationships that are more ongoing as a result of just the way they start, the way that connection gets made. And so they become much more friendly, and it's not just about getting something done. And so the relationships continue that way.
Well, it's actually not about getting a very specific thing done, like a piece of legislation passed. What it talks about is, for example, how can we address our health situation? And what, one of the things you said, you talked about the cost consciousness of natural healing. We've got materials that we've ginned up and found and looked at and so forth that suggest from various people that you might save as much as half of our current health bill if we were to switch to some of these natural healing things. For example, very small study on back pain, which is a big thing in industrial businesses. People were going and getting back surgeries at $30,000 a piece, and a small study just said, "Look, why don't you take the option of doing acupuncture first?" And over half of the people did acupuncture treatments and did not go on to back surgery. Acupuncture treatments for that purpose cost about $3,000. It was one-tenth of what it costs for back surgery. And now that makes a little trouble for the back surgeons on one hand, but for the people that were doing it, it was a very, very, very major breakthrough.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Well, we have a few minutes left here, so I want to talk about your collaborations and partnerships. I know, Denise, you're part of the Holistic Chamber of Commerce, which I'm the president of West LA, so that's another way we connected with this program here. Would you like to talk about the collaborations that you've established?
Well, we met Camille Leon, who started the Holistic Chamber idea, and it's just going great guns throughout the country. And we actually had her come to a Voice for Hope event in Washington, D.C., and she was very much aligned with her philosophy about how business owner, natural healer, members of the Holistic Chamber of Commerce would want to participate in some sort of political advocacy. And so she has made that a part of what is pretty much the standard for all of the chapters to have a piece of political advocacy. And the way that HOPE is involved right now is getting to know some of these chapter presidents and being involved at the district level or at the chapter level, which brings things really to the grassroots where we want to operate. This is how things will move forward if we are operating at that level. And now we're going from Washington, D.C. down to the district and from the district level up to Washington, D.C. So the activity is even more dynamic. So we are also involved with a group of folks called from the Living Medicine Foundation, which was begun by Gladys McGarry. Dr. Gladys is famous. She's actually called the mother of holistic medicine. And she and Norm Shealy were instrumental in beginning the American Holistic Medical Association in 1989. So we're very active with them, Dr. Gladys, and that philosophy aligns well with Voice for Hope and what we're doing and how we are bringing those ideas to Washington, D.C. So some of the reasons for being involved with those people are for expanding Hope on the Hill, expanding healers of planet Earth and their empowerment throughout more states and back into the district.
That's excellent, excellent. We only have a few seconds left here, so I will put your connections for people how to connect with you on the live link and social networks in a few minutes after this show processes. But you're going to be visiting L.A. the third week in August with the Holistic Chamber?
Yes, I am, and I'll get to as many L.A. area chapters as I possibly can when I get there.
Well, keep us in the loop there. And then you have Hope on the Hill in Washington, D.C. We only have 10 seconds left or so in October, so please keep me informed with that, and I will post this with the interview to get you out there more. We only have a few seconds left, so I'd just like to let people know this is Conscious Connection with Gary Stewart. And my guests today were the founders of Voice for Hope, Denise Lewis Premshack and James Turner. I want to thank you both for a very informative interview, and I will get this out on social networks so more people hear about your cause and your fantastic things you're doing interfacing with the government and the people together.
Well, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. Really enjoyed it.
Great. My pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you. This is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. Namaste till next time.